Three, two, one. Let's start the big show. Hi, my name is Randy, and I will be your host for this episode. Podcast, internet radio, whatever you wish to call it. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the show, if you listen to it, and whatever format you listen by. I was looking through my Facebook today. Let's get started right away. And I saw a picture of a little videotape on my Facebook of two guys on a motorcycle. I don't know what brand the motorcycle was. Didn't say Harley, but it had a sidecar on it and it had a huge live bear in the sidecar. And they were just driving down the road. And the bear looked like he was having the time of his life. He had his paw up like he was waving at people. And there were people on the sidewalk walking a dog, and they were just staring at him. That must have been, I don't know, that guy must have had that bear since he was a cub. I don't know. That bear could have knocked him off with one swipe of his paw, but he just had his paw up in the air. It was the funniest thing. But I hope you're doing all well. It's been a sweltering heat here. I went for a walk today, and it was like, get home and put your head in the shower for a while. And I turn off the fan and the air conditioner while I'm recording, so it's fairly quiet. Oh, another thing I saw on my Facebook. This came from George Takei from the classic Star Trek series, who's now 80 years old, I believe. He had a picture of this little kid. I don't know how old this kid was. He was watching TV with his mother, and it was some sort of drag queen type of show. Well, not exactly called George a queen, too. But they said that after the show or whatever, I don't know what time, his mother started dressing him up like a girl. And George is like, oh yeah, she should be able to do that. If the kid's like 18, I guess his choice, I guess. I don't think that by the looks of the kid, some of them are saying it's child abuse. Yeah, I think let the kid make up his own mind, or don't do that, because, I don't know, it's just strange. Very strange story. Next up on the podcast docket, I might try to do this every future podcast, if I can. But let's talk a little Netflix. And I have a little movie review this time. I have watched a show, Longmire. That's a series for like 5 seasons. I don't know if they're in production anymore or not, but it's a good show. But the movie I wanted to talk about today is called Enemy of the State. It just showed up on my Netflix a few days ago, along with the movie called IT with Pierce Brosnan, which is kind of a knockoff. But I watched about 30 minutes of that movie. I didn't like any of the characters. It's like, who do I root for here? Enemy of the States is an older movie. Might be a little tough to find. If you got Netflix, it's not. Just type EN in the search. Then you might get that crappy IT movie. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But Enemy of the State stars Gene Hackman, who does a great job in it. I wish he was introduced a little earlier in the film. And there was one politician that I wish that could have taken a dirt nap at the end, too. But it's about the government being crooked and the mob and lawyers. And how, you know, that movie's how old? I think there's stuff like that going on, have been going on since, I mean, some of the stuff in my lifetime that has been done is, they make Richard Nixon look like a choir boy. He said, I'm not a crook. I think there's a lot of... Jimmy Carter, I thought, was an honorable man. He built houses. But anybody else had their fingers in everything. It's like, who's running this country? Our government, our national security organizations, or is it Russia and Vladimir Putin? And I know they want their houses back, a couple houses in on the East Coast. I don't know. I think it was Obama that seized them. If I'm right on that, I'm not sure. I don't know. Well, this is just standard practice to have listening posts readily identifiable. But if you listen to Enemy of the State, it's so true. And people die for knowing too much. And it's usually chalked up as a suicide. And I guess a lot of money that was bound for Haiti disaster relief wound up elsewhere. Maybe the Clintons could shed some light on where money's being diverted from relief funds. Probably not the most popular thing to say, because a lot of people think he was a good president. Barring his Monica Lewinsky thing. But John Voight plays his part excellent in the Enemy of the State. And I might do some things to kind of prove it. I'm normally not a big Jack Black guy. But he does his part good in this movie. And he utters probably the funniest line of the movie. Or the funniest line I've heard him say in the movie. Listen up, folks.
Oh, man, let me follow the nanny. She doesn't shave her legs. Jesus. Women like that are so hot.
Is there anybody following us?
No, Mr. Bobby.
Now, that clip needs some explaining. Now, Jack Black is monitoring this labor lawyer's house, Will Smith's house, and they got it bugged and video surveillance. So he knows the nanny is pushing 60 years old, a Mexican nanny, and he says they don't shave their legs or something. I just thought it was funny. And so I put it here. Next, we might get on with John Voight's rambling about the... Not rambling, but... He wants Will Smith's credibility. By hook or by crook.
You know what I've seen? I've seen killers walk free because the eyewitness was an alcoholic. I've seen sex offenders that couldn't be touched because the victim was a call girl. Credibility. It's the only currency that means anything on this kind of playing field. Dean's got the tape and he's going to come out with it. And when he does, I want his credibility. I want people to know he's lying before they hear what he says.
We could take his wife and kid. He'd give it up for them.
We'd have the police and the FBI all over this in 24 hours. Put taps on his 20 most frequently called numbers, and let's get into his life. The union situation has mob written all over it. And he's definitely vulnerable on Rachel Banks. I want to know about his wife. I want to know about his parents. I want to know about his gambling problems, his urine samples, his porno rentals. I want to use every means possible to get what we need. Because this little son of a bitch is not going to be the final chapter of my life.
John Voight is kind of the leader of this rogue little band of NSA agents. And it's pretty humorous. I just wonder how many real conversations like that go on in Washington with the bureaucrats and the national security agencies. Jason Robards is in it also. He does a good job as playing the crabby congressman who doesn't want a bill passed that John Voight wants passed, basically because he wants a job promotion. And all this, there's a good gunfight scene in the near the end of the movie. But gets rid of a lot of Will Smith's problems at the end. But I don't want to be a movie spoiler. There's also three animal actors in the movie. I'd have to say that the Gene Hackman's cat does the best job. The wife of Will Smith has this little yippy little dog you just want to kick around because he's always growling at Will. It's his wife's dog, and she likes to bite. And not a very likable animal. Gets painted green by the military ops guys who trash Will's apartment looking for that videotape of the congressman's murder. Over the National Security and Privacy Act, I guess that's what they, I think that's what they call that piece of legislation. And all the blood spilled over a job promotion. But Gene Hackman's got a line, and you're either incredibly smart or incredibly stupid. But Will does a good job playing the government off the mob. And they're not even really talking about the same thing. The NSA didn't even figure out that the guy made a duplicate copy of the videotape that was shot across the lake over at the boat ramp. They didn't even figure out that he copied it to a disc. They always called it the videotape. Who's the other guy that gets... The first guy that actually videotaped is Jason Robards' murder at the lake. He just wanted to play with his dog, who does chasing the ball. They put Jason Robards back in his classic Mercedes or whatever it was, and release the parking brake, and rolls back down in the lake and dump a bunch of pills in his car to make him look like he had a heart attack or something. But the guy on the other side catches the whole thing on videotape. Emotion sensitive. And what was the third animal on that? Yeah, the cat. The cat does a good job in the movie. The dog's pretty likable too. Like an Irish setter or something like that. Jason Robards at the park and just wanting to throw a tennis ball for the dog. Dog kind of follows the car when it's rolling back down in the lake, but he stops at the edge of the water and just sits there and like, what can I do? Doesn't jump in to try and save him, but I don't know. That yippy little dog gets annoying, but there's a scene where Will Smith goes to a lingerie shop, and he starts stumbling all over himself with the worker there, where women are walking around in lingerie trying to sell it. I've never seen a lingerie shop that walking around malls and such that have that kind of perk in it, but so that's my movie pick of the podcast, Enemy of the State. It's much to be honest, I didn't watch all the IT movie that comes up when you put Enemy of the State in, I think. But that's with Pierce Brosnan. It just the guy who works for him, the IT guy, he does something and catches Pierce Brosnan's eye, and he invites him over to his house and stuff over the what work he's done for him. But then he updates his the one guy that goes to his house is a former NSA agent or whatever, and he kind of bugs and puts video cameras on his place. And he seemed like a real weirdo. I think he was trying to get with Pierce's daughter. I don't know what that was all about, but it seemed like a strange movie, and I didn't like anybody in it. So, what John Voight said there, that clip about credibility and stuff, you just wonder over the years how many conversations in Washington and other places have gone on over the years. So, I think we will move on. I did have this story about Daniel Radcliffe, a.k.a. Harry Potter. But I kind of lost that news story in the shuffle here. And I tried searching for it, and I couldn't find it again. But I guess he helped somebody who was a victim of a robbery in London and was injured with a knife, I think. And some of his buddies started chasing. I don't know. I doing this all from memory. I lost that story, but I guess he waved his wand and no, but I guess he did a good thing there. And I hear he's a really, I've seen him in interviews. He seems like a real good guy. I kind of shies away from the spotlight of the movies anymore. People must get incredibly tired of actors of these press junkets to promote movies, and like the Harry Potter movies needed any promotion. I wish they'd get all of them on Netflix, but I did see a few of them on Family Channel, and on the screen you see Freeform. So I don't know what's up with that. If technically it's, I think, the Family Channel, but I don't know what they had to give up to air those movies. Of course, you're watching commercials too, which now that I'm used to Netflix, it's just like I can't hardly watch regular cable anymore. Except when they do like marathons. I really want to watch some comfort television. Watch Ghost Adventures, Ridiculousness. Some people might think that's kind of junk television, but I like it. Rob Dyrdek hosts that Ridiculousness, and I hear he's a decent guy too. I don't know how he made all his money before Ridiculousness, but they got over 100 shows, and sometimes they do marathons of that late at night. And world's dumbest criminals, world's dumbest partiers, and world's dumbest, I forget all the things they have. That's on True TV. Something that I would like to say, some of these channels, like the Travel Channel, you wouldn't think anybody else is on that network than Andrew Zimmern, the bald guy from New York. I think he lives in Minnesota now. But he, other than eating really strange food, he is on there like 23 hours a day. They might as well just call it the Andrew Zimmern Channel. I know they got other hosts. I get on Friday and Saturday they do have some Ghost Adventures, but they don't really promote that much during the week. I'm not sure of the day they air a new one, but I think they might on Saturday. But during the week, it's just like Andrew Zimmern. And he's a little, I don't know, he's all right, but I liked Anthony Bourdain better. Better sense of humor, a little less milquetoast as far as hosts go. Had a little edge to him. But now he's on CNN, which is good. Parts Unknown, I think the show is called. And but that's my rambling on there. I think I started out with the Harry Potter story, but I would have liked this. It's too bad Alan Rickman had to kick the bucket, but I would have liked to have seen some movies based on the Snape, Professor Snape's character. I'd have to listen to it or take a clip of it. I couldn't do a good Snape. I can't remember a line. We will find out where your loyalties lie. He does that voice great in the movies. And I thought he was one of the more complex, interesting characters of the show. And he played his part well. And it was only at the end of last movie that Harry Potter found out that Snape was actually a good spy for Dumbledore. Let's go back to the True TV network. You'd think the only show that they have in production is this crap show called Impractical Jokers. I don't know. They play really kind of stupid pranks on people, and there's about 4 or 5 guys on that. Pick winners and losers of the prank. Attaching balloons to people in grocery stores and stuff like that. But they play that on the True TV network 23 hours of the day. They can't play World's Dumbest very much anymore. I don't even know if that's in production anymore, but that was a good show. They do have, I think it's on the True TV network. It's called the Carbonero Effect. This magician, he's pretty good. That was interesting for a few episodes, but he's going to have to start coming up with disguises. I think people are going to start to catch on that they're being had. It's amazing what people will believe if he just tries to sell it enough. He's a pretty good bullshitter, so some of that stuff is crazy that he does. But you don't see, you see that a little more than World's Dumbest, but at least during the week. Sometimes they have marathons, but I never really catch them, of World's Dumbest repeats. So that's kind of my movie review and television review of some shows. And some movies there. But I think it's time to move on. I don't know why my thing is recording really slow today. It's kind of weird. It seems like everything's, I don't know. Just like everything is, there's always some change when I turn this stuff on. And I downloaded a plugin for the effects for Audacity, which gives me a lot more effects. But mainly I've been using the same one. I think a lot of the effects that I added were actually for people that do music tracks. But I think I found a pleasing enough equalization. I had a little bass boost, tinkered with that a little bit, seemed to do a pretty good job. It does have a lot of noise reduction and gets rid of a lot of junk in a track. If you haven't listened to Star Wars and Hitler Stories, my last podcast, that was technically that was a pretty tightly edited show, and it was pretty good as well as far as content. This one I'm going to have to edit the heck out of. That's makes it all worthwhile, I guess. The few listeners I have. It's kind of weird. Podomatic has a bunch of stats that you can look at on their website. When I look at that, it's my stats as far as downloads and plays are different from the little embedded player I have on a blog, which I don't really write on. I gave out the website to get here as the last entry in bold letters. Infotainmentpodcast.com is where you can find this show. And I haven't really edited out the Get Her Done podcast, which I'm glad I changed the title. I don't want to, even though Larry the Cable Guy doesn't really care about what that phrase is used for. I guess it's even gone on underwear. Oh, that's right. I do remember a story that came across my Facebook, which nobody writes anything anymore about their lives. It's just about reposting stuff. A few people post pictures and junk, but I saw that there's a new underwear for guys coming out that has a zipper in the crotch area at the top of the underwear, so you can store all your valuables. I thought about that, and I thought that was pretty creative, but if you're out in public and you got your billfold in your crotch, ma'am, I'm going to have to drop my pants to get at my billfold before I pay for this. Because I don't see how they would do that unless they drop their pants. And maybe if you stuff that pocket enough, it looked like you got the 12 inches of swinging death. The huge sponts. They looked boxer briefs, which are the most. I can't even wear jockeys anymore. They're like, this suck. Yep, go with the boxer briefs. The kind of hybrid of the underwear deal compared to regular boxers. But that was funny. I think that show should go on World's Dumbest Commercials or Inventions. And, well, I went a little long this time because I'm going to have to edit this a whole bunch to make it sound listenable. I could make it so that doesn't sound like I'm even breathing as far as just like talking nonstop, but I should go back to reading stories. It's kind of an easier way to do these things, but instead of trying to ad-lib your way through them, which I've been trying to do, I don't want to sound like I'm reading all the time. And talking about stats, maybe I should go for the commercial offer that Podomatic, see if they approve me. Because my statistics are different in my blog spot as far as plays for my different podcasts. Because the last time I checked, it had like 30 plays. And it doesn't show up on the stats on the Podomatic website. I don't know what's up with that. On these effects I downloaded, they got them titled so you don't even know, get any clue about what they do. Maybe
people who do music and stuff know what it means, but you click on them and they got 100 settings. And on YouTube, they have a lot of Audacity stuff, which I really enjoy looking at because they can do a lot of special effects without having to buy an expensive program. I did look at a program on the internet that had around 3,000 special effects noises. Always for free. They list at the top, always free. And then they list the price that you have to pay to get the effects at the end of the web page, which is kind of humorous. But I looked through that most of the selections they had there, and a lot of that stuff wasn't even interesting. And they had a bunch of special effect, a sound of scraping ice off a car windshield. Like, why would I want to hear that? Hear that enough in this state during wintertime. So, I don't know. Audacity's been a good program. And it's one that I don't know why they offer free, but I'm glad they do. A lot of the videos on YouTube, as far as creating special effects, like making a Darth Vader sound to your voice, some of them work all right. They always give samples of what their finished product is. And having the voice sound like Batman and... But you got to go through about 50 different steps to get there. And I got my settings about where I want them as far as this show goes. Thinking right now I'm about at 42 minutes long. So maybe I'll get her down to about 30 after I edit, and even more. And edit even more. And when I ad lib, it's a lot of junk audio I gotta really remove. Well, I would like to thank everybody for listening. Whether you listen by a laptop, desktop, all the eyes from Apple, Android phone, MP3 player. You can also listen on iTunes, which I haven't tried to download again. Maybe I'll try that so I can look at my those. I've looked at the stats, and those never seem to change. I kind of don't get the first priority when I'm just a lonely podcaster. I don't know if Mark Maron did stand up before he did his WTF show. That's the one that always seems to break the mold and be very popular. And he's also interviewed the president in his garage. That's where he has his recording studio. At least the last time I heard. It's funny, he doesn't get hired by some... the stuff I've heard and the topics, he's kind of a introverted little depressing man. I don't think that's a very uplifting podcast. I haven't heard him do a lot of interviews, but I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. Some are usually about five guys, and some you hear pretty good, and some you don't hardly hear at all, drinking, and, oh, what did you do today? And they're all drinking, and maybe that would help me with a podcast if I drank a lot of alcohol before. see how the podcast changed. Maybe we should start drinking at the beginning of the show and see if I could get a whole podcast out having Long Island iced teas or something. But I don't think that would help my bipolar condition, and I've spent too much time in bipolar spin dry as far as treatment goes, weeks and months. I could talk on and on about that and what happened. And it's kind of, well, I could be depressing too, just like Marc Maron. During that time, I basically told to give up my job. I had to give up my very recently purchased pickup, which I hated. And had to take out my 401k because I've been out of work for a while now. I see a social worker once a week, and I'd rather do this podcast than punch another fucking time clock ever again for some mediocre pay, which barely pays the bills. But maybe things will start. I'm thinking a lot clearer, that's for sure, after this swab test. I don't know why they don't do this. I guess insurance companies don't want to pay for it. That's why some of these treatment facilities don't use it. But they swab the inside of your mouth, and it tells them what medications are the best suited for you. And I had this one psychiatrist who always wanted to give me Abilify. And now I've been told by the place I go to now, by the person that knows medications, she goes, well, that's a good medicine, but it's not right for you. And I took that Abilify for months. And that's great. And even when I was at my lowest point, before I went into bipolar spin dry, I was taking my medication. But it just wasn't covering it. And I got sent back. And it's just the lost time, you know. You miss holidays. And I went... I had my birthday during that time, which I never even thought about on that day. But, you know, you kind of get weary of the time spent at those places. But I guess I'm glad they're there when you need them. So if anybody listens that has been diagnosed with a bipolar condition, I hope they keep their chin up and get that swab test. It'll save you some time in institutions, treatment facilities. And tell them you don't care. I'll pay for it myself if insurance doesn't cover it. Because now I think they got me on the right track as far as medications go. So, and my last trip to the doctor was really fruitful as well. I don't think we have a English-speaking doctor around here anymore. They're all from India. And one of the pieces of advice this doctor gave me was stay away from white food. And I'm going, what? I don't know. Something about calories or... I'd never heard that before. And when I was in the hospital a few years ago with 103 fever and viral pneumonia, hooked to a lot of different fluids, my brother was, he had to tell me, oh, you're probably paying about $300 for each bag you use. And I go, oh, great. Thanks for that piece of info. And the doctor there gave me a piece of advice. He goes, don't drink bottled water all the time. Drink tap water on occasion. I don't know. I guess because of the fluoride, it's all I can think of as far as why. And I'm kind of going, my tap water is shit. Basically, it never gets cold enough. But here, I don't know. If you put it in a plastic bottle and put it in the fridge, it's tolerable. But I was living after school. I was living in a place where the water had a high sulfur content. that was the worst water I've ever. It smelled like rotten eggs, and if you put it in a pitcher, it turned the bottom of the pitcher like brown after a few days, or maybe even less than that. So, wow, I'm up to about pushing about an hour, but with all my editing I have to do, it'll probably come back to about 30 minutes. Maybe I'll find something a little more uplifting here. Let's see if I can find something. Oh no, I gotta. Audacity has some things I'd like to change, but it. Oh, let's see. Google Chrome. Something else. Let's go to. Well, I guess the OJ is up for parole. I guess he was treated quite well in prison. But I think he should just stay in there the rest of his life. You killed two people, O.J. At least Goldman stayed on his frickin' ass about that. I forget what his name was, because his son was murdered. And yeah, OJ was always going, I'm going to find the killer. And yeah, he spent a lot of time on golf courses in between. He was, maybe his golf club had a telescope on it to try and find the killer. Let's see what else. Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of. Here in my state, there's a woman. I don't know why exactly she's getting so much. I guess because she's fairly attractive and from Australia. I was going to get married here soon. And she made a 911 call to police. And conveniently, they didn't have on their, I guess a lot of places are going to cameras placed on the individual cop. And I guess they didn't have that video on, or their like dash cam in their police vehicle. But this woman was shot to death. And I'm like going, how many murders go on every day that don't get this much publicity? She was, I don't know, basically she was from Australia. And I think Australia is kind of upset. As they're pretty, I heard this a long time ago, I guess Australia is pretty tough on immigration. You got to be able to do some good for society if you're going to move there, which maybe we should look at their immigration policies. And our policy on the influx of immigration from Trump probably is just kind of a toothless wonder as far as keeping terrorists out. Because, oh, you gotta let people in that have family here and for this and that and every other reason. You gotta let immigration flow. I don't know exactly who they're gonna keep out. I hope that they're tracking down most of these plots. Because, well, in the movie Enemy of the State, I don't know how much of what Gene Hackman, former NSA agent, what he said about our nation's security was actually fairly accurate or not. He goes, under Fort Meade, there's like how many miles of mainframe computers that if you're on the phone or I think it'd pull up your emails, whole bunch of other stuff, and you mention keywords like, well, I better not say them, but if you mention a big, they got a big list of keywords and they flag it for analysis as far as terrorism goes. He goes, that was 20 years ago, and now that people have most people have cell phones, they're bouncing off satellites and stuff, they can just pick signals out of the air. So John Voight tells Gene Hackman that maybe the only privacy you have anymore is inside your head. He goes, maybe that's enough. And they used a lot of payphones in the movie, and I go, where the hell do you see a payphone anymore? Maybe in bigger cities they still keep some active. The only reason Gene Hackman lives in a place he calls a jar, it looks like an abandoned complex in the Baltimore area. And he's got a whole ton of equipment, and he keeps a bunch of copper wire mesh there to block out signals, and he does sweeps for transmitters and all of his equipment. I don't know how he powered it, because the building itself was kind of off the grid. They were at a store, because Gene Hackman has this condition where he has to eat all the time. And they were in the clear until that point where Will Smith makes a phone. He thinks that payphones they wouldn't be able to track, but not anymore. They tracked that down, and they tracked his vehicle and followed him to Gene Hackman's office for like 15 years, and it's just full of equipment. I don't know how he powered it all, because he said there's no utility lines or nothing running to that building. He was basically off the grid for a long time. And I've seen shows where, remember Survivor Man, Les Stroud? That was on the Discovery Channel. A pretty tame show compared to what they got now with this Naked and Afraid. Which, if you run across that show, you basically it's a bunch of butt crack shots. I think they don't blur the hind end, but they blur anything up front, and then they let them design their own little bikinis with leaves and stuff like that, and they give them a big bag to hide their junk. But this one, it's a man and a woman, but that go on these Naked and Afraid trips. I think they're like 21 days that they have to survive in some jungle somewhere. I think they did one in Florida. This man was such a little wimp, and they're both freezing at night, and she wants to cuddle up because she's freezing, you know. And I don't know if he was worried about getting the Tower of Power. If they got close, he was married, of course, and was so worried about what his wife would think. And I'm kind of like, why'd you go on that show? If you're married, it can... I don't see a wife really approving of going on that show, but... So, maybe they should have angry spouses chasing them. It was kind of funny. I got a picture of a guy I used to work with quite a while ago. I never got a response back about my comment about the picture, but yeah, it's this guy I used to work with walking through, and looks like a forest type area, and there's like some tree branches placed. Well, they're not placed, but they're just kind of like, he was wearing like shorts, you can kind of tell, barely. And it looks like he's totally nude walking through the woods. And I made the comment, is this the same, is this a shot of, a scene of the Naked and Afraid show on Discovery Channel? And another guy made a comment, is this a nudist colony? Well, that's, I think I'm going to end this podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. I'm going to have to do a major amount of editing to make it good. But I hope you have a good week and weekend. And oh yeah, I want to thank my listeners in Germany. I did get a stat that I had 3 downloads of kind of older shows too. I was kind of surprised. They were quite old, but hopefully they enjoyed them. My stat feature can kind of pinpoint at least the area where, I don't know if the if it's there exactly where this pinpoints a download or visit, but Munich, Germany was what it gave me as far as where this where these 3 downloads happen. But I'd like to thank them. Hopefully they enjoyed the show. And hopefully you have a good week, good day, and all that. And however you listen this show by. And we will talk to you on the next podcast. Bye-bye, folks.